talk on. I don't know if you can see that very well, but there's one particular verse. I'm going to read it to you now. And it's one verse from the Bible in the book called Colossians. And it's chapter 3, verse 15. And it says this. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This morning, I'd like to talk on the topic of peace. Now, there's many things we could talk about from the Bible. Lots of different topics, lots of different angles, lots of different approaches. But this morning, I felt that during the week that Jesus told me to talk about peace. And it's a relevant topic for any time and for any season to talk about peace. Because we live in a world, as you already know, if you look upon your TV screens, you see the trauma, you see the upheaval, you see the chaos, you see the confusion. And you probably don't even have to look in your TV screens. We see it in our communities. Tribulation and anxiousness and all of this different sways. And we see that there is a real need for peace. And the first thing that I'd like to say on the topic of peace is that peace is precious. Did you know that? That peace, I don't think you can put a price on it, but it's priceless. It's very valuable. You can't buy it on Amazon. You know that, don't you? If you went online this morning, you can't type in, I want to buy peace. You might get a book of peace or something like that. But you can't. You either have it or you don't have it. Isn't that true? It's precious. Like, what I'm on about is to be at peace within yourself. To be at peace with yourself. Now, there's some people, they're not at peace with themselves. They're not. They look in the mirror and they don't like what they see. They're not at peace with themselves. And then it's not only to be at peace within yourself, within your own heart, but also to be at peace with God, where there is a peace between you and God. And if you know that, that's precious. Because there has been times in the lives of God's people where they've been at peace with God, and then something's happened, something's changed, or they've done something, and they've lost the peace that they had, and then they say, oh, I need it back. I've lost me peace. Have you ever had peace and lost your peace? Because you know it, don't you? You know what that's like. There's an uncomfortableness about it. There's an unsettlement about that. When you have peace, and you think, yes, this is precious. And then you lose it for whatever reason, and you think, whoa, I want that back. I'd give anything to get that peace back. If I have it back, I'm back into that precious zone of living life with peace. And so it's not only to be at peace within yourself and at peace with God, but also to kind of live at peace with other people. That's challenging. Isn't that challenging? To live a life where there's peace between you, yourself, and you and God, and you and other people. Because some people, they give it all that. And when they give it all that, sometimes we give it all that. And that there's all of this going on. And we're not at peace sometimes with other people. So if you have a life and you have a heart where you're at peace with yourself, with God, with other people, that's precious. Keep that peace. Maintain that peace that you have. Continue to live a life with God by faith, trusting in Him, and aim to live in peace. Aim to live in peace with other people. Aim to live in peace with yourself so that you're not at war with yourself and you're not with God. But if you lose your peace between you and God, the way to get that back is you bring yourself to God and you say, I just want you to come to me today, and I come to you today and just forgive me, or I want to come back into that intimate place with you in prayer and devotion. And then what you'll know is that the peace of God will come into your heart. And So the first thing I'd like to say this morning is that peace is very precious. If you have it, keep it. If you don't have it, get it. Because I'm telling you, that's a good life if you have peace. I was looking on an online dictionary at the definition of peace. And I suppose you'll get different definitions in different dictionaries. But this is what I found. The definition of peace is freedom from disturbance, quietness and tranquility, a period when the war is over. Oh, wouldn't you love a life like that, wouldn't you? Oh, wouldn't it be great if we all had a life where there's no disturbances? If you went through life and there was no disturbances, you'd be like, wow, isn't this amazing? A life where there's no disturbances. A life where there is quietness. It's hard to get quietness, isn't it, in this day and age? Sometimes you might go to the quiet room in your house. Do you have a quiet room? Some people have a quiet room where they go into that place and they just quieten themselves before God. And all the noise is everywhere else. And they're thinking, will you keep it down in there? Keep it down there. I'm looking for quietness. I just want quietness and tranquility. And it's good to be able to develop a lifestyle where you draw yourself away from all the noise and all the disturbances and all the hustle and bustle of what's going on around your life and bring yourself into that place of faith, of devotion, and just quieten yourself before God. That you know a quietness and a tranquility in your own heart before God. And another word of the definition of peace is, it's when the war is over. When the war is over. A war! If you look at your TV screens, you see wars, don't you? Over there, in some other places. But then, that can be personal as well, isn't it? You could be at war with somebody. You're shouting at them and they're shouting at you. And there's a war going on, there's a battle going on. Sometimes we have a battle in our hearts or a battle in our minds, our own personal battle that's taking place. There's a war taking place. And then when the war is over, when the battle is over, when all has been disarmed, you enter into that period where there's peace. And that's a precious place when the war is over. I was in work during the week and somebody sent me a photograph of on WhatsApp of peace. And this is what it says. Peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise. It does not mean to be in a place where there's no trouble or there's no hard work. Rather, it means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. That's true. That it is possible to have peace in your heart, to have a calmness within your heart. And there's a whole lot of noise going on around you. There's a whole lot of trouble going on around you. There's a whole lot of movement or hard work going on around you. But you yourself know peace. You yourself know calmness. That's possible. The Bible speaks of such things. Actually, the Bible says that the peace that Christ gives is a type of peace that transcends understanding. And so therefore what that means is that you yourself can have peace in your heart, and there could be a war going on around you, there could be trouble, there could be noise, there could be chaos, but you yourself in your heart, you know peace. And I'm telling you, if you know that, that's precious. That is precious. There are many people that are looking and searching for the things that I speak of, and if you've received them, sure, keep them. Sure, you can't talk about peace without talking about trouble. It's a bit like salt and pepper. If you talk about salt, you have to talk about pepper. If you talk about Adam, you have to really talk about Eve. It's a bit like the two of them go together. If you talk about peace, you really have to talk about trouble because they kind of go together. If you have one, you've probably had the other. Peace and trouble, trouble and peace. They're like family members, aren't they? Two little children. Everywhere one goes, the other goes as well. When I think about trouble, I think that there's three types of trouble. Do you want to know what the three of them are? Yeah, you do. These are nodding your heads. Right, the three types of trouble that I know of. The first one is to have troubles. You know what I mean when I say you have troubles, you have cares, you have concerns, you have problems. If I was to say to each person today, tell me your troubles, you'd be able to tell me what they are because you know what they are because they're your troubles. They're not my troubles, they're your troubles. But if you said the same to me, Alan, what's your troubles? I'd be able to tell you what they are. Do you want to know what they are? No, I'm not going to tell you. And I don't want you to tell me yours as well, but that's the first type of trouble, is to have troubles. These are the things that bother us. These are the things that worry us. These are the things that give us anxiety. These are the things, the cares and concerns, is to have your own personal troubles. That's number one. Number two is to be troubled in your heart or in your mind. You know what that one is, don't you? Because we've all been there. This doesn't necessarily mean that you're troubled about your own stuff. You could probably have not much troubles yourself, but still be troubled in your mind or in your heart about somebody else. Isn't that true? Is that you? If somebody came to you and says, tell me your troubles, and you may say, actually, I don't have a whole lot, but I'm still troubled in my mind and in my heart because of somebody that I know and somebody that I love. That is to be troubled. It might be about your own stuff, but it could be about somebody else's stuff. That's common. Sometimes we're troubled, not because of our own stuff, but because we love somebody, because we care about somebody, because of what they are going through or the troubles that they have trouble us. They trouble our minds, they trouble our hearts. And so the first trouble is to have troubles. The second trouble is to be troubled in heart of mind. And then the other type of trouble is, it's the one got to do with the law. To be in trouble. If you've broken the law. Have you ever broken the law? Yes, I've broken the law. They say confession is good for a pastor. Do you want me to confess? Right, this is what happened to me there during the week. I went to a car park and I got a ticket. Put in 150, got a ticket, put it on the car. And the ticket allowed me to park in the car park until 11:30 a.m. I got back to the car at 12 noon, half an hour over. A big yellow sticker on my windscreen. I had broken the law. Oh my goodness, what am I doing, man? No way. 40 euro I have to pay. So you see, that's the way it goes. If you break the law, you have to pay. You do the crime, you do the time. If you break the law, you're in trouble. I was in trouble during the week. And sometimes that's just the way it is. If you break the law, whether it's the law of the land or if you break God's law or there's other types of law, you have to pay the price. That's just the way it is. But if you don't have to pay the price if in terms of God's law, you know that, don't you? Because somebody else paid the price. His name is Jesus. And that's where you get off free in that sense, you know. So there's three types of trouble. One is to have troubles, your own troubles. Two is to be troubled in your mind or in your heart, unsettled in some way, or to be in trouble with the law. But you know what they all have in common? No matter what type of trouble you have, whether it's one, two, or three, or two out of three ain't bad. Somebody sang a song about that. Is that they all have one thing in common. That is, if you know any of them, you want peace. If you have troubles, you really want a bit of peace, don't you? If you are troubled in your heart, in your mind, because of somebody that you love, you not only want peace for yourself, but you probably want peace for them. And if you're in trouble with the law, you're looking for peace. You see, peace is precious. When people are in trouble, they want peace. Actually, do you know what happens is trouble highlights the preciousness of peace. Peace is precious. If you have it, keep it. If you don't have it, seek it. Get it, because it's precious. I'd like to talk about something else as well. The Trinity. You've heard of the Trinity, haven't you? They are, it's a mystery. The Trinity is a mystery. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is one. They are all one, but they operate in three different functions. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And I'm not here to tell you about the mystery of the Trinity. Because all I know is that it's a mystery and I accept it. But I do know this, is that the Father, God the Father, he's at peace with himself. He's not troubled by himself. He's comfortable in his own skin, if you can put it that way. And so it's the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's at peace with himself as well. He doesn't walk around troubled or upset or whatever. No, he's at peace. And the Holy Spirit, he's at peace himself. But this is the amazing thing is that they are a family. And so the Father is at peace with the Son. The Son is at peace with the Father. The Father is at peace with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at peace with the Son and the Father. The three of them together are not only at peace in and on themselves, but they're actually at peace one with another. And that's the only family that I know that's at peace. Because the reality is that our earthly families, many of them are not at peace. You know that, don't you? Is that family life, sometimes there is disturbances. Sometimes there is tension. Sometimes there is frustration within the family, within the members. And I'm going to tell you something you already know. Is that sometimes it's more than a disturbance. Sometimes one family member is at war with another family member. They don't like each other. They don't get on with each other. They shout and they argue. I know you know this. That's family. There's only one perfect family, and that's the Trinity. But sometimes family members are at war one with another. They battle with each other. They shout at each other. And one will say, I'm not talking to you. You've upset me now. I'm not talking to you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to be around you. I've had enough of you. And these are family members. This happens, you know that, don't you, within family. And that's hard. And then I've also seen this in this world. Is that one family member will say to another family member, don't talk to him over there, or don't talk to her. Because we need to keep the peace. It's all packaged in keeping the peace. Have you ever, you've seen this, haven't you? I'm not going to ask you if this is your family, but you've seen this happen. Families being at war one with another, and then it's packaged as, we need to keep the peace. So that, let's not talk, let's not communicate, let's not contact the family member that's upset the apple cart. And that's hard. It's hard when families, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters are at war with each other. That's difficult because all you want is peace in the home. Don't you? And that's hard. Don't give up on peace. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on the people that you love. Don't give up on your brothers and your sisters. Don't give up on your mothers and your fathers or your sons or your daughters. If there is disturbance, if there's tension, if there's unsettlement, if you're at war with somebody, don't give up on peace. Don't give up on relationship. Don't give up on them because Christ didn't give up on you. Don't give up on them because family is precious. Peace is precious. And when you have peace in the family, well, that's even more precious. Ah, family, Trinity, it's all precious. I'm going to come to the end in a minute now. These are two other scriptures that the Bible speaks of peace. The words of Jesus say this, John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And so what Jesus is saying is that he is the giver of peace. It's a gift and he will give it to you today if you want it. And then Paul the apostle, he said these words found in the book of Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ. And so, as we come towards the end, actually that particular scripture says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To rule is to govern. It is to It's to function. And so what Paul is talking about is to have peace from Christ in your heart, and from that place, the place of preciousness of peace, then make your decisions, then operate, then function out of a place of peace rather than out of a place of panic or pain or stress or anxiety, is to live your life and to govern and to rule and to make decisions and to make choices out of peace from your heart. Because that's a better place. Have you ever made a decision out of panic and you've regretted it? You thought to yourself, no, I'm sorry, I did that. What Paul is talking about is to allow the peace of God to come into your heart and to function from that place. Would you like some peace? Would you? You would. Would you like to receive some? Because I am confident that God gives it to his people. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask Jesus to come.